come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now. Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Good morning,
Vietnam.
It's Shock Therapy Live. Nate is back and we're gonna have a good time.
Nice.
Fun on the radio.
We can
I really
have a
hope
good
this
time.
Show doesn't suck. Awesome. Almost rhymed. Almost rhymed.
That, I can't promise that.
Mm.
It is Shock Therapy Live.
So I just found out, like, my ears are really broken. Like, not they're not just, like, at first I thought it was just the plastic piece at the end broke off.
Ugh.
And then I found out it was actually the driver that broke off.
Oh, that stinks.
That's bad.
Well, actually, maybe not the driver. Maybe it's the diaphragm.
Man, your life is so rough. Tell us about Hawaii.
Oh, dude, that was great. You want to see a picture of sea turtles?
Yes. No! No, I don't want
I've got
see
a video of sea turtles.
Turtles.
I bought a selfie stick while I was there.
Oh.
You bought a selfie stick?
Well, here's the thing. While I was on my trip, I actually kind of became the quintessential embarrassing dad tourist.
Yes.
So I bought a selfie stick.
I'm so glad you're admitting this.
I bought a selfie stick.
Okay.
I bought a fanny pack. And yeah. And I bought...
Tell me you're kidding about the fanny pack.
No, not kidding.
Oh, okay.
And I bought some croquis.
What?
You don't know what croquis are? Those things that go on your sunglasses to keep them on your head so they don't fall off.
Oh,
so you can walk around and have them like hang like a necklace.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was walking around. So it was really great. Oh, yeah. And
stop
I bought...
Stop admitting this on the radio!
And I bought a Hawaiian shirt.
You can't take this stuff back, Nate!
So I have pictures of me walking around in a Hawaiian shirt.
Good.
With some short shorts. Fanny pack. Selfie stick. I've got like a.
Oh my gosh! Were you wearing like Oakleys, like old school?
Did you have Crocs on?
No.
You need a pair of Crocs.
But I did have flip flops with socks.
Perfect. Okay. That's
actually that's a lie. That part isn't true. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You're almost there. It is almost complete.
I didn't lose my salvation.
Oh man.
Good.
Wow. Glad you had a good time though.
Dude, it was That's fun. Cool. It cool. was a good time.
Everybody needs that like time of rest and
yes.
vacation and awesome.
Dude, it was great.
Teo yeah. and I will get ours.
Oh hey, it's not broken.
One day.
Good.
It's just the little plug here that's not working.
Oh,
there we
see,
go.
See?
Man, that's good news.
That's fantastic.
Man. First world problem solved.
Boom. If you are new to Star 88, this hour is
dude, I feel like I accomplished something like digging a well or something.
Wow. Yeah,
nice.
That's cool.
Wow. Amazing.
I feel that good
it's
about
not at all
my
the same, but dang.
Which is great.
I feel like I just provided water for a village.
Oh. This means you will just be at your best for helping others because that's what the show's about, really.
Probably not.
People who have issues, struggles, challenges, mm-hmm. jobs that they don't like, mm-hmm. relationships that are awful.
Yeah.
You know. Friends
it was
that
funny.
Are backstabbing jerks.
Somebody, it was, so I'm in Hawaii, and I hope he's listening right now, because it'd be really funny. Dave Bruskus texted me while I was in Hawaii.
Yes!
And he's like, hey, Nate, you know, I don't know if you knew that I moved back, and he said, but I was listening to radio this morning, heard Shock Therapy Live, and you did so good, you're such a blessing in this community, all this stuff, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that it was a recording.
You're like, I'm so in I was Hawaii. Like,
so I just said, thanks, man.
So, Bruskus! I love that, dude.
If he's listening right now, he's like, I
Shout
just totally
to
got caught.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. But
actually,
you're back.
Did I say that? I don't know what I said.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
Well, we want to hear from you. Shout out to us. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually okay. I didn't lie. I never replied to him.
Oh, that's it's even better.
Even better.
Hey, I was
man.
In Hawaii. To be fair, I told the entire staff, now obviously Dave Bruskus isn't on staff here, but mm-hmm. I told our entire staff that I would not reply to emails, text messages, phone calls, or anything of the sort.
This is true.
And so I kind of took that policy with everyone in life, even people I didn't tell. I just didn't reply to people.
Good.
Like people,
how does that work in the real world?
You just do it.
And then 2 weeks later, you're like, sorry, bro, Hawaii.
No.
Oh. You got to get back to him now.
No, you don't.
Okay. So if you'd like relationship advice from this guy.
He probably won't get back with you.
Studio
Dude,
at Star88.
Can you imagine how tiring it was like in 1876? Like, hey, let me send this telegram to my buddy letting him know, hey, let's do lunch in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then, like, he doesn't reply. And then I'm like, 6 months later, I'm like, man, should I go there? Like, he, I don't know. Is he going to be there or is he not? I mean, it was like, he never replied to my Telegram. So, like, and then it's like a 6 month waiting period. Like, you're stressed out for 6 months. Like, man, look, I don't know if he, like, you didn't get a read receipt, you know, back in 1876.
I shall come to you if the harvest is plentiful.
You were worried about, like, Spanish influenza.
Hopefully the winter will stay.
Like, you didn't get, like, an iPhone ... in 1876. Like, oh, man, is he going to reply? Is he going to reply? You're just nervous the whole time. You're like, I don't know if he's going to come or not. I can't get a reply.
He never responded. Smallpox, man.
He never responded, but it also cost like a day's wage for him to send me a telegram back.
True.
So,
very true.
Good night. Maybe he got the black lung and died. I don't know.
This actually coincides with our question of the day. Facebook.com/star88FM. We were reading this Yahoo Parenting article that blew my mind. 53% of parents that responded on this survey, 53% said their six-year-old has a cell phone.
Wow.
Six!
So I just dropped my son off for his first day of kindergarten today.
Okay. How you
and,
feeling?
And, dude, it was, okay, I felt good until I went into the main office because I had to hand in a paper, and I'm sitting there, and I see my son walk through the hall with all these other kids he's never met, and he's kind of got this look on his face like, you know, you can tell he's like, I don't know if I'm going to make friends or not, and he's cruising through the hall, and I just wanted to cry. I just, like, it was sad.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's going into kindergarten, and this is at a public school, and we check him into kindergarten. We put him there, and they have in the kindergarten for all the kids iPads, iMacs, MacBooks, and one giant, like, learning tablet that the teacher uses. And she's like, yeah, most of our learning is on computers now. Kids don't even learn cursive anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? I hated cursive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like finding my elementary school teacher and...
It was important then.
It was not important.
It was so important.
It's so worthless.
I still only write in cursive.
Do you?
No.
I have this weird hybrid.
Do you ever write in cursive?
Never. Maybe when I sign stuff.
That's it. I use cursive for my signature.
Yeah. I'm very cursive, but, you know, other than that.
They probably have like a class season in kindergarten now, how to sign a baseball, and that's the only time you learn cursive is how to sign your name.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, how are people going to do an autograph? If kids don't learn cursive, they're going to be like forever, like all of a sudden all autographs are going to be like start being block letters.
Like texting.
Like Seth's autograph now is just capital S, capital E, capital T, capital H, just big block letters. That's all they learn. That's all they learn.
Yep, the future, guys. That is the next generation. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We had a lot of great parents, though, chime in on our question about cell phones, because the question was, I mean, how early is too early? Your kid is going into kindergarten, and he's learning all this on a tablet, and it feels like everybody's going to... We're turning into that Wall-E.
This is
the world
thing
where everybody's just sitting in red little scooter things. And
I don't let my kid have Sprite every day. There's no way in heck I'm letting him have a cell phone.
That's good.
It's like my policy, when you're old enough to drink soft drinks on your own accord, then you can have a cell phone.
That is
soft
amazing.
Drinks on your own accord.
When you can handle soft
when
drinks.
When you don't have to ask your parents.
Yeah, when you can handle soft drinks and they don't like make you lose your mind, mm-hmm. then you can have a cell phone. But when soft drinks make you go crazy, like alcohol, you're not allowed to have a cell phone.
Oh, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number, if you'd like to hang out with us. It is Shock Therapy Live. It is a one-hour call-in show centered around you and what's going on in your world. And basically, if you don't, we're just going to ramble and hang out because we got to catch up. It's been weeks anyways.
It has been weeks.
Yeah. Or, of course, you can send a private email if you'd like to keep it anonymous. We do have some sensitive subject matter on Shock Therapy Live.
What do you think? What's the appropriate age for cell phones?
Man, Jack's 11 years old, and he's getting ready to go into sixth grade. We're hoping he gets into Cottonwood Classical Academy right down the street. And so he's going to be at a different school. He's going to be solo for the first time ever. And so that's where the thought like bubbled up, because it was like, well, he's going to be in a strange place in a foreign land all alone. And, you know, his mom, my bride, is the principal of the school he's gone to his whole life. So he's always had family, and now, you know, he's going to be off on his own. sixth grade. But then I just start thinking about the fact that I'm going to have to buy a cell phone and put my kid on a cell phone plan, and that's stupid. He's 11 years old.
Dude.
You know?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was like, here's a handful of quarters. I'm dropping you off at the arcade if you need me. Save one of those quarters for the payphone.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Okay. And that was it. And now, you know, you've got six-year-olds, at least according to this article, 53% of parents said their six-year-old has an iPhone. And that's just...
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So
I think for me, like I was thinking about it with Seth, I was like, you know what? I think that part of it's not just age, but part of it is how their life is structured.
Yeah.
So like for instance, Seth, like I feel like if Seth began riding the bus, I'd feel like I'd want him to have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, right now I drop him, well, obviously we drop him off and pick him up at school.
Yeah.
And so to me, there's no need for him to have a cell phone. He's never going to be in a place where he's like, hey, you know, I missed the bus, you know. But when he gets a little bit older, when he gets a little older, maybe he's riding the bus, maybe I'd want him to have a cell phone to call me if he needed me to come pick him up, or,
yeah,
you know, if that, I don't know.
We're talking about it's our tough. Children having cell phones, man.
Ugh. Yeah.
Woo!
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, getting old.
And then I start like thinking like terrible thoughts. I'm like, man, if my kid got abducted, I'd be stoked for him to have a cell phone because iPhone tracker, I could track that puppy.
Find my iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it's a moot point for me because by the time Jay Danger is old enough to have something, he's probably
Mark
just
of
gonna,
the Beast.
He's gonna be
implanted.
Totally.
So
they're probably in like realistically, we probably won't even be using phones in 15 years.
What? What are you gonna be using?
I don't know if
some
that's
cool
true.
New thing.
I wish it was true.
Yesterday we were reading a Google or an article on Google that it's what Google Pants?
Google Pants. Yeah, Levi's and Google are teaming up.
Yes, Levi and Google are teaming up, and you can seriously.
I don't want
like,
Google in my pants.
Oh, I got a text.
Good.
You Intel can, inside.
Like, wipe your hand over your pant leg, and it displays like text on your pants. Like it just doesn't even seriously.
I feel like that's every sleazy guy's dream for a pickup line.
It is. Absolutely. It'll be expensive. You know, though, you say...
Oh, man.
Thinking about it, you say you doubt that we will still be using phones, but when's the last time you used a digital camera? Mm. You don't anymore because it's in your phone.
I still use a digital camera.
You do?
Digital camera.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's
Leica.
Right. Remember? This guy, Crokies.
Oh, Crokies.
That's right.
Forgot about that.
This guy was in Hawaii with the
and
selfie
the, I mean, this is
Crokies.
The thing. There's always going to be... Phones are never going to be able to do like what a, you know, what a Nikon D700 will be able to do, you know, as far as the lenses and as far as, you know, it can have the megapixels and you can get a bigger sensor, but as far as the size of lens and the optics, a phone can't get
that. Well,
I'm
talking about for people that don't do photography as a hobby.
Yeah.
Like the normal consumer.
Totally.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. That's where
it's going. Well, like for me, you know, again, I was in Hawaii and I have this waterproof case and I was able to go scuba diving with my phone and, you know, get videos of sea turtles and videos of fish.
It's pretty awesome.
Like I remember when I had my first digital camera and then I got my first underwater case and I was like pooping my pants. I was so excited because I was living in California and I could go surfing and bring a camera out to go surfing. And then I remember that the waterproof case leaked and broke the camera.
Oh.
And then I mean, technology just changes. You know, I remember when I bought my first flat screen television and it was like the big size was 32 inches.
Yep.
And I got a 32 inch Westinghouse that was 720p and I was stoked.
Side note, that is now in my children's playroom.
There you
yes.
go.
That actual one.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
That Westinghouse still works. It is totally
awesome.
In the Jeter Boys.
Yeah, and think about that. That television was purchased in like 2004, 2005, and that thing's still working.
Yeah, still rocking and rolling, and the kids play the Xbox on it, the old Xbox. But seriously, I mean, you think about it, and that's how quickly everything is rapidly advancing. So what does that say for, like, let's take it, you know, a step further, church culture, you know, with what's going on with churches. We've seen massive shifts in music trends and in, I guess, presentation, even, if you will, because from church to church, you can walk into one, and they're still sporting purple pews and hymnals, and then you walk into, you know, say, a service here, and it's fantastic, you know? I'm telling you, I want to watch TV on that screen, like the middle one. That would be, we need to have like a video game night,
dude,
buddy.
No, we were talking about it, like, how cool would it be this year to do a Calvary Super Bowl party?
Yes!
Say, hey, come to church, then stay after for Super Bowl on the big screen.
You know what always is the hang-up? Commercials. Because literally every other commercial is a beer commercial or somebody not wearing mini clothes. And how are you going to do that in a church?
Yeah, that's a good
question. You can do it, but like lowest common denominator, that person that is totally like either former alcoholic that you don't want to offend or the person who, you know, sees a person in a bathing suit and freaks out. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're probably already writing a letter about the music anyways, so...
Maybe they shouldn't come to the party. On.
They can tack it on to the list.
Dude, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
I'm not cynical or anything.
Are you cynical?
If you'd like to chime in.
Hawaii changed you, Nate.
Oh, looks like, we got a frowny face phone call? What is this? What is it? We got a phone call. Line one. We're going to go out to the phones. Okay. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hey, this is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going, guys?
James. Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Hey, so Steve, I was thinking about what you said about cell phones and kids. With your son, you should just get him like a jitterbug. You know, it's like the phone for like old people. That's like the giant buttons, and all it does is make phone calls.
I didn't know that existed.
Jitterbug.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's great. There's no text, no internet connection. It's just for like geriatric people who are like confused by modern technology.
Amen.
And with these giant buttons. And so that way you can keep in contact with him, but you know he's not like, you know, going crazy on text or you know, going on the internet.
I'm getting my kid, you know what? Retro's cool right now. I'm getting my kid one of the backpack phones.
Here's the problem with that, Jason. I love my child. And if that kid shows up to school with that thing, he is getting the crap kicked out of him.
No. Another valuable life lesson, you teach him UFC. Yeah.
Doing like old school Pumas and like, you know, Kanye.
That's
sunglasses.
True. Like he'll straight just, up Puma chilling. And, yes, dude. There. LL Cool J's round Adidas hat.
I think your son. I think your son could rock like a Miami Vice thing. Like that could be bait to attract the bullies to him, and then he knows UFC and he beats the bullies up.
Oh man, amazing!
It can be like bait. Like
see
he's
what
the bait
you started,
car.
Jason.
Here's
is,
the issue, Jason. A jitterbug costs about $85.
Oh my gosh!
They have a jitterbug touch that's $150. So what's the point in spending money on that?
Yeah,
but
kidding.
Well, what does the service cost for it?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's like $8 or something.
You're sure? I'm sure that's just the tax. Like,
I pay a
cell phone bill. Yeah.
I'm sure they say if you're confident enough to carry this around, we'll pay your cell phone bill.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
Public, we will pay you.
Yeah.
No one's picking us up on this offer in 18
years.
You're
an advertisement.
If you make 5 calls a month, we'll pay you $100.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll use you in all our advertising. Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. Yeah,
that's what it comes down to is, like, for me, like, I have a 9-year-old son. I have a 7-year-old daughter. And, you know,
do they have jitterbugs?
They get, no. They want to steal my phone every chance they get.
Yeah.
But, like, so the thing is I can see the situation. Like you're saying, he's going off to a new school away from everybody else. You want to stay in contact with them. But for me, I'm like, if I gave my son, who's not, and he's not that far off from yours, a cell phone, an iPhone or an Android, he's not going to be picking up my phone calls.
Right.
He's going to be texting his friends. He's going to be playing, you know, superhero games on his phone and Minecraft all day when he's supposed to be learning or, you know, socializing with living, breathing humans. And I'm just like, I don't want to give him that access.
I agree.
You know?
There's no way in heck I'm giving my kid an iPhone. My kid's first cell phone is going to be a Cricket Nokia. Seriously. He's getting a Nokia brick.
Old school Razor,
Heck yes, man. He's getting a Nokia brick, and if he wants to play a game, that'll be Snake.
Exactly,
is what that game will be.
And he will rock that junk.
He will love Snake.
Which is hilarious because there was a time where that was like the coolest thing in the world. Yep. I remember when the Matrix came out and that dude's cell phone went bloop and like popped up and it was like, what?
Remember I had my little Cricket brick phone and then Levi Lusco got one of the phones that slides up, but it was an MP3 phone. So it was huge because people were like, you can load music onto the phone. And the way you did that was through an SD card you could load like about 20 songs and you could slide a little SD card into this phone and it had a speaker on the back. People were like, oh my gosh, you can listen to music on your freaking phone.
Yeah.
It was like revolutionary.
Man. It's crazy how fast everything's...
Had, like, this crazy, like, thumbprint reader on it that was terrible. Because he was like, watch, it only works on my thumbprint. And I did it, and it opened the phone.
Mm-mm.
It was just, like, you know, like 10 years too early for that technology.
Amazing. Dude, Jason, thanks for calling in, man.
No problem, guys.
Amazing. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You know, you talked about school and whatnot. According to World Magazine, a study from the London School of Economics for the first time provided hard evidence that banning cell phones in schools boosts student achievement. That's what got me thinking about the whole thing to begin with. In schools that banned mobile phones, students scored standardized tests went up 6.4% on average, and lower performing students actually benefit the most from phone bans. So we talk about, you know, wanting to get cell phones for our kids so they can get in contact with us, but Jason brought up a great point that his kid's probably just going to be texting and playing games, and he should be learning in school to begin with.
Yeah, and we have an email from our boy Bawit Dabah
out in Austria.
It totally backs that up. He says, many recent studies indicate that early exposure to media is detrimental to development of children's cognitive abilities and is also a precursor to childhood obesity. In other words, the more exposure, the dumber and fatter your kids get.
Okay.
Now, he lives over in Austria. He says because,
like it is.
Because they live there, his 12-year-old can go to swim practice by himself on public transit. They have a cheap flip phone so they can keep in touch with him and for emergencies. But he says it's a battle against media. It really is. TV is mostly crap, and the, quote, good TV that's out there is so hard to find, it's not really worth the effort. And your kids aren't losing anything by limiting media when they're young. Like, literally, no drawbacks by limiting media. And that's something to think about.
No, yeah, quite true.
Yeah, so again, I'm all for, I don't think kids should have iPads and have, you know, tablets and all that stuff. But I'm looking right now on Cricket on Cricket's website.
Yeah.
And you can get...
on your iPhone.
You can get... on my iPhone, which my son won't have. And you can get... So you can get a cheap flip phone for like $50, and then it's $25 a month for unlimited calling.
See, that's
the kind
need.
Of phone. He's not going to be texting on that. I'll, you know, turn texts off.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that crap.
I think
and
that's
so
smart.
He won't be playing games on that. He won't pull that out at school because he'll get punched.
Right. Punch.
Because he'll be terrified.
So ghetto.
He'll be terrified to be seen on that thing. The only time he'll pull that out is to make a phone call.
And you know what? Like, when he does get in a fight, you'll be happy he has that flip phone to call you so you can come pick him up.
That's
or he
right.
can use it like a roll of quarters you normally would when you make a fist.
The
this
only,
thing is like a brick.
Flip phone the only time that phone's going to get used is in the bathroom with the door locked so that
say,
no one can see
his
him
friend goes,
to make
hey,
secret
man, you have
phone
a cell
calls.
Phone? Can I have your number? Yeah, just write it down. I'll put it in my phone later.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't even want to take it out.
But if your kid's smart, he's going to call it his
Seth,
burner
why do you
phone.
Have 25 numbers written on your hand?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to input these later. I'm going to,
Jack's going to be like, that's my burner. I can't really talk about it. Secret stuff.
You know, you do make a good point. That was one thing. Every parent knows their child best. And so whether you're chiming in on Facebook saying, hey, my kid's 9 and he's got a cell phone, or my kid's 13 and still doesn't have a cell phone, mm-hmm. I do definitely think it comes down to good parenting because you know your kid the best.
It's kid to kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, even from Jack to Luke, for me, my children, they're quite different, you know? They both play baseball in Luke's business class. You're heckling and cheering in the crowd. And he's listening to coach, he's paying attention. Jack's the entertainer.
Jack's
he's
trying to come up with the best
like
joke.
Me. Yes, he's trying to think of the punchline. And yesterday he had a tryout for a city league team with ABA, the Albuquerque Baseball Academy. And Chrissy said the whole time he was like cracking jokes with the coaches.
Yeah.
And just, you know what I mean?
Hey,
just like,
guys.
Yeah, all right, hey. And Luke is just all business class, just
you know
like
what?
Focused.
I understand the intent, like the purpose of not soaking your kids with media while they're young and everything. But I'm not going to look down on I have plenty of friends and family members that totally let their kids rock the iPads and all that stuff because I look at it and I think, man, when Jay Danger is 3, I'm going to be sick of him, and I'm going to need an escape. So if I can give him something that will distract him for hours, that's precious to me. That's
Dude.
Precious.
Stop.
You know what I'm saying?
Preach.
So much quality.
People are going to take you seriously.
Nah, nobody takes me seriously.
That's true. 505-338-3700.
Oh, here
it
we go.
It is Shock Therapy Life. Oh, okay.
Look at this.
You're still looking at burner phones.
$624 a month.
Oh, man.
$624.
That's what my son's going to have.
Studio at star88.fm.
Wait, I want to see.
It looks like a pacemaker. Studio at
there
star88.
There you go. He will never take that out.
.fm.
What's that? That's a time machine.
I'm a spy. Yeah. $2.99 a month.
There you go.
Oh, it's even better. It doesn't even have a color screen on the front. That's the phone for Seth. Look at that
Amazing.
Thing.
We got a couple emails. If you would like to chime in, you would like to hang out, you can change the subject. Nothing is off limits. It is Shock Therapy Live. It's kind of a hang session. So we got
God.
A few emails.
That looks like 2001.
Studio at star88.fm. That's studio at star88.fm. What do
so,
we got?
Here we go.
I'll give him a pink phone.
Here's our first email. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Mm-mm. I'm a teenager, and one of my friends has been using dip/smokeless tobacco. My question is, at what point is it inappropriate as a Christian to use tobacco, given its addictive qualities? Go!
Mm. Okay.
I think it's inappropriate to the point at which it's causing others to stumble and/or the point at which you decide to serve in ministry apart from just attend ministry.
Mm. Okay.
Agree.
Now, does that mean, because here, let me play devil's advocate for a minute, because we're talking, what is it, chewless, what is it?
Yeah.
Dip? Chewing tobacco.
Okay,
dip.
So not like smoking, we're talking about something that the dude mm-hmm. puts in his mouth and yep. you don't ingest it, you
We're talking
spit
about
it,
like the grossest right? habit in all of humanity.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's disgusting. However, I immediately thought of, well, coffee, that's got it, quote-unquote addictive mm-hmm. chemicals in it, right? In the form of caffeine. We all ingest it every single day to thrive and survive, because I couldn't do a morning show without. I think of smoking a pipe right now is super trendy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe how many people I've come across that are like, oh, yeah, I rock a pipe. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because when I was a kid, it was like the grandpa that did that, and it was like weird and gross, but it smelled really good, you know, until mm-hmm. you actually put it in your mouth. So there's that trend. There's the, what's the new thing? Vaping? Oh, yeah. My gosh. I went to the mall a week ago, and there were like kids. Yeah. Like walking around like, this one's cotton candy, like vaping. And so all of these trends that are happening, I'm not saying that they're acceptable or they're okay, but I know people that serve in ministry that rock one or more of those things.
Man, you guys, I'm just sitting here going, man, in the South, that was yeah. everybody at church, you know, and I, like your grandmothers. You know, that's a misnomer in the South. Like, what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. See, so the question is,
well, that's why I say I phrase it this way. Yeah. If it's causing people around you to stumble, then I think when that's the case, anything that causes someone to stumble, we don't want to do. Because the Bible's very clear that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Not all things, you know, further your faith in Christ. And some things hinder other people's faith in Christ. And so sometimes a good thing can be a bad thing when it causes someone to stumble. So I think at the point when it's causing people to stumble, and then the reason I say ministry is if we had a pastor on staff, or if we had, you know, a children's ministry
Gandalf.
Volunteer who we saw chew and dip in the back, and we'd probably say, hey, don't do that or don't serve.
Yeah.
You know, now what you do at your own home on your own time, that's your business.
Yeah.
But I don't want you walking around the church parking lot chewing dip after you got like a Bible Island shirt on and you're in the parking lot chewing some dip, spitting that crap out. No. You know, if you're going to do that, don't serve or stop doing that or do that at home. So I think, you know, and that for me, that's even the distinguishing line as far as, you know, vaping and other things is, you know, that it genuinely is bad for you. You know, people get, haven't you seen those shows? People doing the dip, they got like half of a face.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah,
nobody
it can
wants
totally
that.
Like eat away your gums and stuff like that.
No, absolutely. I would also love, Pastor, for you to define causing someone to stumble, because I think this email, it was an anonymous email, but the way that it was stated, the way that it was phrased kind of, I remember when I was in high school and I had friends that would do things that I thought were just idiotic, you know, whether it was dipping, whatever it was. And I think a lot of times we can use the term, well, that's causing me to stumble, when in essence all it is like nagging or annoying or being it's obnoxious, or you don't understand it, you don't get it, and so you immediately say, well, that must be a sin because it's causing me to stumble.
Yeah.
Can you define what it, like biblically, what does it mean to cause someone to stumble?
Yeah, well, that's why I say I really put it in correlation to someone in ministry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're in ministry, you're around a lot of people. You don't know what they've gone through, what they've struggled with. And so, like, I'll use this chewing tobacco, for instance. I don't think you could just someone who, you know, just doesn't like chewing tobacco say that caused me to stumble. I think somebody who's maybe had a family member who, you know, got cancer, and maybe from chewing tobacco or from smoking, and they saw that. They saw someone in ministry doing that that brought them so much pain that could cause them to stumble. I think somebody who might have once been addicted to that, and they see someone else doing that, and it causes them the desire to go back to something that they have quit, that would be a definition of causing someone to stumble. I don't think it can just be, you know, any
that's
random
gross.
Person saying that's disgusting.
Yeah, you're nasty. You're causing
now,
me to stumble.
Now, I think it could cause some people who truly are pure within their outlook and what they do, who feel that it's wrong and feel that it's sinful for them to see someone in ministry or someone in authority do that. It can cause them to question, and I think that can cause someone to stumble. Mm. And that's where I think it's really got to be, you know, we don't know if it truly caused them to stumble or if they're just saying that, but I feel like if someone says, hey, that caused me to stumble, our job as a Christian and our job as the bigger person is to say, you know what, okay, I won't do that in front of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard for us to judge. And I think it's just as dangerous. You know, we say people falsely accuse all the time and say, oh, that caused me to stumble. I think that's bad, but I think it's just as bad for someone who's doing it to say, well, is it really causing you to stumble? Or are you just being, you know, are you just being legalistic? I think that's just as bad because you don't know if it really does cause them to stumble.
And
so
you
who
in
are
turn
we?
Are being judgmental.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who are we to question what it makes them feel?
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I think, you know, I think a good policy is if it, someone says, hey, that caused me to stumble, don't question and say, well, I have freedom in Christ and does it really cause you to stumble? Are you just being legalistic?
Right.
Don't do that. Don't pull that crap. Just be the bigger man. Be a Christian, and don't do it in front of them.
I think on both sides of the this commentary, the point is you have to examine your heart. You have to examine this from both perspectives. Whether you're the one that is being nasty and chewing dip, or if you're the one that's like disgusted by it, or had a family member affected by it, examine your approach, because we should always approach in love. It's okay to tell them it's nasty. I think the way that we do it can actually change the outcome. Because if you come at somebody, you know, they immediately jump on the defense because you're being a jerk about it. That's not going to do anything. But if you come to somebody in love and approach them,
a little
them
grace
well,
on both sides goes a long
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. So thanks for the email. 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. You can also chime in by giving us an email, studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. We got a mini novel.
We do. Okay. Good morning, guys. I had a question.
They call it a novella.
A novella. I had a question about how to come to contentment in life. Little backstory. I'm 27. I've been married to my wife for almost 2 years now, and we're both Christian believers for about the past 2 years. She's wanting to have kids, which I am not totally against. However, I was raised in a single mother home, never had much money growing up, so I have a fear of not having enough for being able to raise kids the way I'd like to raise them. During childhood, I never really went on vacations. My mom couldn't support hobbies that I may have been interested in financially, though, bless her heart, she did the best she could. I can't help but feel this way. It just happens. Also, I'm not content in my job. I haven't been in a long time. It seems like a dead end, not to mention the politics of it are just out of this world. Though the line of work is fine, the workplace itself is not. With that in mind, as with the money fear, I'm always on the lookout for new opportunities. Tried moving to Lubbock, found a place to live but no job. Tried to move to Houston, found a job in my same work field but couldn't find a place to live. Tried to join the Air Force, got rejected a few weeks ago, which was a particularly hard jab I still feel the disappointment from. All I want is to provide better, to be able to give my wife insurance, to have a good life with a family. But with all these situations not working out, I've gotten the feeling God's telling me to just stop. I've had the feeling for a while, but I'm having a hard time getting myself to stop and wait for Him. How do I stop and look and see what we have now is good? How do I go about trusting God with family building? How am I able to see God's will when I keep thinking I've seen it in the past, quote, opportunities, and then they fall apart? Basically, how do I be still and know that He is God? I want to let go of the will, Carrie Underwood, and let Him do His thing, to trust Him, because I'm tired of being in the destruction derby I keep putting our family through. My wife needs more stability than that. I need a mental break. Sometimes it feels like I'm going to absolutely lose it.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time. Love the show.
You know, I think this really goes into something that is a really problem in our culture today. And what that is, and it makes sense too, especially for this guy. He grew up in a single family home. Mm-hmm. I've attended a few seminars on this, and it's really fascinating when you study it, when you look at it. There is a breakdown in our society within the family unit, within the family structure, because people no longer find their identity and their fulfillment in their family, in what we should find our fulfillment in relationships, in relationship with Christ. And they try to find their fulfillment in something else, in a line of work, in a career. And so what happened is in the 50s, you had guys who had jobs, and some of them were really crappy jobs, but they had just come out of the Great Depression, and they got a job because they needed to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
What they found fulfillment in was in coming home and making sure that their family had food on the table.
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter what they were doing, they would hold a job for 30 or 40 years because that's what they needed to do. And their fulfillment wasn't found in their employment, their fulfillment was found in their family. Then what you had start happening is in the 70s, in the 60s, 70s, you have this free love movement, and you start to see this breakdown in marriages and relationships. And no longer are people finding stability and identity in the family unit. Instead, they start finding their identity and they start finding their calling in what they feel like they were made to do. So there's this movement that goes out where people say, you know, I'm just searching for what my purpose is in the universe. And that thought started to come around the 60s and 70s. So now you have people who are in college and they'll change their major six times,
right,
because they're trying to find what they're called to do. And so no longer is the family unit important. Divorce rate is at, you know, above 50%. And so no longer can people find their identity, can people find their fulfillment and their calling in their family. They decide, what am I called to do apart from my family?
Mm.
And I think we got that flipped. I think what we need to do as Christians is say, sometimes what I should do is I got to do what I need to do and pray that eventually God will let me do what I want to do. You know, but do what you need to do. You get a job, and it doesn't matter what job that is, as long as it's a job that gives you a paycheck and can put food on the plate for your kids. And your calling, your identity is found in your family. Your identity is not found in your job.
Mm.
And that's what we need to change. We need to hardwire that and get our culture to think more about the family unit than about, you know, a job, or about, you know, well, I'm not content in this job, or this isn't what I'm called to do. Now, I think that God does hardwire us to do certain things, but I think that at the same time, God cares more that you take care of your family than he does about you being in a line of work that makes you really excited.
Yeah.
I think what we need to remember what's most important. And so I think you do what you need to do until God lets you do what you want to do. I think it's noble to want to make more money for your family, to provide a better life for your family. But what I think you do, and I've always been a big proponent of this, is that, again, if you're in the place where you need to be and you're in a place where you're doing what you should do, eventually God will open up a door and God will take you to a place. Instead of you trying to force your way into it, God will open up a door and provide you an opportunity. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said before, if you want to know the will of God, it's simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then do what you want to do. And so if you truly love God with your entire being, then knowing the will of God is going to be really easy, because the desires that will be in your heart will be God's desires.
Yeah.
And that's what that verse in Psalms talks about. He'll give you the desires of your heart, the desires that he's implanted within you, that he's instilled within you. If you are walking with God, those desires will be God's desires.
Yeah.
If you are not walking with God, not truly in love with God, then those desires will be selfish desires and desires that you have for yourself.
And I think it's right-minded to I don't want to say stress, but to have that on the forefront of your brain, wanting to be able to provide for children and to provide opportunity for them. But you cannot let it paralyze you. You cannot let it stop you from having a family. I mean, I think of the verse that says a man who cannot provide for his family has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I'm going, I got three kids, man. But I grew up in that same family unit, single mom. My mom raised three kids on her own. I wasn't afforded a lot of opportunities I wish I could have had as a kid, and because of that, now it's like I want to make sure I do everything I can for my kids, not to spoil them, but to give them every opportunity I quote unquote didn't have. But I will also say this, I can't imagine a world without my kids, and there were times with them where before we had them, I had to pray hard and go, Lord, I don't know where this money's going to come from. Diapers are expensive, formula's expensive, food, and you know, whatever it is, at some point it's always going to be quote unquote expensive. But if you are truly trusting in the Lord, man, God has I could tell you stories upon stories upon stories of different opportunities God afforded my kids, or ways that God provided that just blew my mind, that are those reminders that God is in control, that I can find that contentment because he's got me. He's always got me, and he's always got my family. And so I would say, you know, again, it's noble and it's great that you have, you know, you want to be able to provide and take care, but you also don't want that to petrify and paralyze you from having said family, because as you mentioned, your wife wants to have kids and you're not there yet. You guys need to begin to pray together, pray separately, and start having those great conversations. But don't put up those barriers just because you're worried about the future. We're not given tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Mm-hmm. We can't say, well, you know, in 5 years this, and in 10 years this, and in 20 years that, because God probably laughs at that and says, yeah, "Man, that's amazing that you think that."
And you know, again, as someone growing up in a single, if you grew up in a single parent home,
yeah,
you're naturally going to have that tendency to try to find your identity in something else other than your family.
Yeah,
because
comics, bro.
Because you grew up knowing that you couldn't find stability, you couldn't find identity within your family because you felt like there was nothing there for you to hold on to. And so you'll often find people who grew up in a single parent home become very driven people in their career. You know, people who grew up without dad, sometimes they come up, you know, becoming very successful in business but very unsuccessful in life.
Yeah.
And as Christians, I think we have to fight that. You know, if you grew up in a single family, a single parent home, you've got an opportunity to try to change that course, change that circle, and truly, you know, pour into your kids, pour into your wife to make sure that they can find identity, that they can find belonging within your family.
Yeah.
And so I think you've got that opportunity to change that course.
Amazing email. Thank you so much for the question. Hey, maybe you're listening and you've been in this situation and you'd like to chime in. Maybe you have a story that can really help. We love hearing from you guys. Facebook.com/star88fm. It's facebook.com/star88fm. You can also send us an email, studio@star88.fm, or if you're bold, Facebook, man. You can Facebook us.
No, bold calls.
Yeah, call. Yeah, but it's still like
Facebook. It's like
it's still anonymous.
Courage.
Yeah, but you're putting
people,
your name out there.
People say stupid stuff on Facebook all the time,
yeah,
because
true.
They're cowards.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Anything over there?
No. It's keyboard courage.
Okay. Keyboard courage. I will say that is one thing, you know, with current culture, is it's true. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want on the interwebs without actually having to, I don't want to say pay for your crimes, but man, back in the day, like if you wanted to say something to somebody, you said it to their face, and then chances are you got punched.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the consequences of saying stupid things. And now you can just, you're right, hide behind your keyboard.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm struggling with the same exact stuff you guys are talking about now.
Okay.
Let me turn my radio down. Hold on a second.
Perfect.
My family is going through this. I don't think that it has to do even with just parents in a single family household. It could be anybody. It could be, you know, just like if the mom wasn't really present all the time, or like, and I think a lot of people struggle with this these days. Like if your mom was an alcoholic, or, you know, your dad, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I think a lot of people can benefit from what you guys are talking about right now.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, again, it really is a problem, and I say it's a problem for our culture because it doesn't just affect people who grew up in a single parent home.
Yeah,
it really does affect all of culture, because I think culture right now is kind of being told through media. You know, you can even be affected by your friends' parents getting a divorce, but we're just kind of told growing up that families are unreliable, and that you can't, you know, it should be the people that you can count on the most, but we kind of grow up being taught taught that we can't rely on our family. And that's why it's so important for Christian parents to show the opposite and show their kids, look, you can count on me. You know, luckily I don't struggle with that because I grew up in a home where my parents showed me very much time and time again that I could count on them. So, you know, I think we have the opportunity to truly raise kids up the right way by showing them that they can count on us.
Yeah.
And that they can rely on us. They can find their identity in our family unit, and their belonging in our family unit. And so I think that that's very, very important to show.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, why it's so pressured, like, for the female, like, these days, to go out and, like, be, you know, you get pressured from, like, be somebody, and you got to go and work and make money, and both the parents are, like, working and doing this stuff, and you just, like, what is really important here?
It's not going to be popular, I'm going to say, but I think that it's very true nonetheless. I think that that culture coming up of moms feeling like they have to work or feeling like they should work really comes from the feminist movement. And in that same era, the 60s and 70s, when the feminist movement really became very popular, where women were fighting, you know, to be treated more like men, to be allowed to be in the workplace more like men. And from the surface,
like, we wanna be equal.
Yeah, now from the surface, that seems very good. And God did make man and woman comparable, but they're not equal in the sense that they're not equal in what they were meant to do, their purpose in life. They are equal in relationship. They are equal in value and worth. But men and women are different. Men were made physically to work, to do hard work. Women were made physically to give birth to kids. So you cannot say that those two things are equal. They're both that have the same value, but they both have different purposes. And so you have this feminist movement that really came up, and what happened is it ended up having a negative effect on a lot of women as well, because then all of a sudden you have a lot of women who feel like they have to work now, or feel like if they don't work, they're going to be looked down upon. And the problem with, you know, a feminist movement like that is not only do you have a lot of women then saying, we want to work, what happens is eventually, over a period of time, and that's where we're at now, it's just normal for women to work now. It's like, oh my gosh, a woman has a job? What the heck? You know, there was a time when that was the case.
Right.
But now, that's not the case. So now what happens is you have husbands that get married and they expect their wife to get a job because they think, okay, if you know, women's rights, if women are equal to men, if women are the same as men, then all women should have a job. So you should have a job because you're no different than I am. And so I think that there's a problem within that. So I'd say it's not popular what I said, but I really think that the pressure for women to get a job really came about from the feminist movement. And again, I think that it's important for us as men to empower our wives to do what they feel called to do. So I think it's important for a man to empower their wife and say, look, if you feel called to stay at home and be a mom, I'm going to empower you to do that, and I'm going to try to get a job where I can support you doing that. Now, if you feel called to go get a job, you know, for instance, my wife, she loved being a stay-at-home mom for a couple of years, but then she was like, you know what? I'm going to go nuts if I've got to stay home every day and just be a mom. I've got to, you know, get an identity in having a job as well. So in order to encourage her and help her, I encouraged her to get a job. I didn't force her to get a job.
Does that help?
Yes.
Right on. Thanks for the call.
It does.
I think we're living in a different culture as well, because I think about, for my mom, you know, on the other side, my poor single mom who, you know, my dad passed away when I was 6 years old, and then she had to get a job.
Yeah,
and it was like the 80s where it wasn't equal, and my mom struggling to try and pay for three kids on her own because there was no dude, and she's not making the same wage as a dude because she's an air traffic controller where it's mostly men.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because then I come to the defense of feminist Nazi women all the time and say, I'm just kidding.
I'm a feminist. I'm offended.
He is a feminist. He's totally offended.
I'm offended right now.
And say, well, you know, it's funny because culturally speaking, it's completely different. Because then I look at my grandmother, who, when she was 13 years old, married my grandfather.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And another thing, to put it back on the men aren't acting like men. We're acting like boys, and we're waiting until our mid-20s and 30s to figure out what the bleep we're going to do with our lives because we don't freaking know.
Yeah.
Because we want to be grown-up children. And so then the women that are working have to, because they're in their 20s as well, and they got to provide for themselves.
And again, I feel like this all goes back to what I was talking about, though, that breakdown in the family. family unit that started happening in the 60s.
Yeah.
It is, you know, when the family unit breaks down and the roles get reversed from the way that God intended, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And so the way that God intended it was for men to get a job, for men to work their butts off, for men to provide for their families, and for moms to stay at home and take care of kids.
But World of Warcraft!
That's what...
I'm just kidding.
What does that mean?
That means that we want to be boys and play video games and not have to work our tails off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't.
And so... But so that's the structure that, that God created.
Yeah.
And again, when we find value and worth in our family, it makes it a lot easier for a man to go to work, go have a job, because he knows that when he comes home, he's going to have a wife that's there to support him and love him. And he knows that he has kids there that, that he loves and that he cherishes, that he cares for. And so his worth and value is found in doing that, not in having a great time or not in doing what he feels like, oh man, I feel so meaningful doing this job. His meaning is found in his family.
And there's got to be sacrifice on both sides, because you just said, you know, the husband works his butt off all day. He goes home, he's exhausted, and he just wants that support and that love and that care from his wife. Well, guess what? His wife has also been working her butt off all day at home, raising children.
Yeah.
That's exhausting and daunting as well. And so there's got to be give on both sides, because I think on the flip side, some dudes would say, well, I'm the provider. I take care of everything. I do it all. And it's like, dude, raising kids is a full-time job.
Yeah.
And so even those stay-at-home moms, and it's like, oh, she didn't do anything today. She just hung out with the kids. It's like, you spend 12 hours with my kids and tell me you didn't do anything. You know? So like, there's got to be some give on both sides.
Now,
and that's why marriage
now, to the same side, though, again, I say that God hardwired us for different things.
Yeah.
God hardwires women to be nurturers. Women are by nature nurturers.
Yeah.
Men are not nurturers by nature. So now we say... So the reason I say that is it's a lot harder for a guy, the way we're hardwired,
Mr.
to
Mom.
Stay home and take care of kids for 12 hours. It's a lot easier. I'm not saying it's so easy, but it is easier for a woman, because a woman is hardwired to nurture. And so in the same way, it's easier for a man to go in the backyard and dig holes and dig trenches and build walls and build fences, try to get your wife back there. Well, she's not hardwired or created to do that.
Yeah.
Could she do it? Sure.
Yeah.
Could you start an activism movement to let her dig ditches? Yeah. Does she want to? Probably not.
I already got the t-shirt. Never mind. I'm not even going
to. Oh, man. I think I know where you're going.
No, that's bad. Stop
that's where
it right
was
now.
Going.
Hey, we are out of time, and I am sad because we had a phone call that wanted to talk about this very thing. I'm sorry, Mick from Hobbs. We are out of time for the show. But fantastic, fantastic time. Hey, speaking of, I'm going to – tomorrow, Theology Thursday, Stephen is going to be our guest in here tomorrow. Is, that
is
cool?
He?
Yeah, he is.
He's going to be
is
our
that
guest.
Cool? I mean, you're his boss, is that?
I'm not answering that.
Answer.
You're amazing. Oh, man. If you missed any part of the show today, I'm so glad to be back in the saddle on Shock Therapy Live. I'm glad you're back, dude. Oh, it's a good show. It's a good show. If you missed any
part. Dude, that was I don't think we've ever talked about
that.
We've never talked about that subject on Shock Therapy Live. It's something new.
It's fun. Brand new. It's exciting.
I was starting to feel like there was nothing new under the sun. Shock Therapy Live was becoming vanity.
All is vanity. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast. It's absolutely free. It's at star88.fm/shocktherapylive. Get there, check it out. That is it for us until tomorrow. And we've got another new day of Third World Thursday. We're going to check up on Faith Comes by Hearing. And we're also going to kick it for Theology Thursday.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, all right.
We're going to kick, like literally kick it.
We're going to kick it. That's how we do. We're out. Steve-O, Teo, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Peace out.